Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of. And we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
And it's a classical dystopia. This is episode number 91 for Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. So welcome. Thank you again to Keza and TJ for White Noise. Awesome guys. That piece of music was just a segment of Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture. So I want to welcome everyone to a very special evening of dystopical and apocalyptical themes, if there are such words, apocalyptical, I'm not sure about that. For tonight, we rejoice and celebrate the art of classical and some opera and how it defines us or how it helps us interpret some dystopical themed films, movies, etc., but also our own perceptions and experiences. Is it the end of the world? Maybe not. End of the world music can be pretty melodious, powerful, and just totally awesome. That was the 1812 Overture, as I said. But before I do talk about that, in fact, the person who can probably talk about it a lot better than I can is here with me in the studio tonight. It's Tim Perry from Joy's very own Sunday evening classical opera show, Queen of the Night. Tim Perry, welcome to the show.
Your Majesty in the room. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here, Sonia.
He is here. Look, we've had you on before, way back in May, actually.
Gosh, time goes fast, doesn't it?
It does. It's so fleeting. Yet, that was a great show too. We did horror, sort of horror.
Stabby, yes. Deathy things in opera.
That's right. All the good stuff. Mm-hmm. You're here to help me this evening because I need help with this type of topic and particularly with the music. Tell us what you know of the 1812 Overture.
What we heard is simply about a 20th of the entire thing. Yes. The French title is his March Solennelle, which translates to Latin as a solemn, a tragic march. Tchaikovsky incorporated into that the Marseillaise, which is the French national anthem.
Yes.
His government told him not to. They forbidden him, bade him, pardon me, to not put it in.
Verboten.
But he changed it slightly and got away with it. And as listeners might know, that was in V for Vendetta.
Yes, it was going to bring me to the next segue, which was V for Vendetta, the 2005 dystopian thriller slash sort of sci-fi, but maybe not quite, directed by James Mateague and produced by Joel Silver and the Wachowski brothers, of course. Of course, the film was based on V for Vendetta, the comic book by the awesome Alan Moore and David Lloyd, came out a lot earlier. So yes, that was used in probably the most explosive part of the film, which I love.
Was it? It is explosive. There are cannons.
Everywhere.
In it. In the actual piece.
Yes. Real cannons.
Real cannons. I don't know if they use real cannons nowadays because concert halls might suffer the consequences with giant holes in them.
Well, that's where you get the open-air amphitheatre and point the cannons somewhere else, obviously not into the crowd. The horror in me just can't help but come out. Tim, we're going to talk about your show first. I just want to introduce you to listeners that may not know what Queen of the Night is about. What is it about exactly?
It's about opera and classical music in a nutshell. I aim to, well, I've said before in an interview, and I'll say it again, there is a bug up the arse of classical music, and it needs to come out and die. I want classical music and opera to not be just for stuffy old people with lots of money. I want it to be for absolutely everyone.
Fair
and that's
enough,
what my too. Show aims to do.
And it reaches those people, I think.
I hope it does. I've got a good audience, and if you guys out there listening now feel any part of you that likes classical music or is interested, maybe you don't know a lot about it, maybe you're intimidated by it, listen, Sunday night, 6 till 7, and trust me, go with me on this. We'll have a good journey together.
V for Vendetta, we've spoken about that. If those who don't know, it's set in a London, that dystopian society. It stars the wonderful Natalie Portman in the film version and Hugo Weaving, of course, as V, a bold, charismatic freedom fighter driven to exact revenge on those who disfigured him. And it's been seen as many a political group as an allegory of oppression by government. Libertarians and anarchists and more recently Occupy people have used it to promote their beliefs and ideals. And fair enough too. It's a very stirring film. Tim, have you seen it?
I have. Years ago, but I have. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, it really is very theatrical. I find it's like a whole stage and it's just this the colours and everything is awesome.
And it affected me more than I thought it would. I thought it'd just be a nice action cartoon, sorry, not cartoon, comic represented kind of romp, but it was a lot more disturbing I thought it would
more
be.
More different than that, yeah. Yes. Well, it's got that graphic sensibility. 1812, of course, like we said, was used in that film. Okay, we're going to go with your choice next. I was going to do Beethoven's Fifth, but I think because that was in V for Vendetta, but we've got one here that you're very keen on.
Definitely.
The Morrow.
This is from a film I studied in year 12, Gattaca, and Michael Nyman's score, Michael Nyman's soundtrack, is absolutely beautiful.
He's done a lot of great works in his time, this being one of them. And, of course, the director and the writer of this film is a New Zealander, in actual fact. Andrew Nichols, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, Andrew Nichols, and Gattaca has that sensibility of that New Zealand sensibility, believe it or not.
The music I know it well represents odd. The climate of society at the time. It's very clinical. It's very, very minimalist.
And police status, there's a real sense of...
But the undercurrent, there's a very emotional undercurrent too.
It's a love story too. And of course it's got the wonderful Ethan Hawke and the beautiful Uma Thurman who...
You can't forget the beautiful, what's his face, the other one, the English
Jude.
One.
Jude.
Jude Law.
Hey Jude Law.
Hey Jude.
He's coming up in Sherlock Holmes 2.
Yes, indeed.
Which is coming out January 5th. All right, let's play The Morrow. Why have you chosen this particular track? Any reason?
I just fell in love with the score when we had to watch it in year 12.
Yep. Oh, it's worthy of that. This is Sci-Fi and Scream with Tim Perry from Queen of the Night, and you're on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Carrie Callaghan from Geek Girl Con, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream.
This indeed is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Now, that was a beautiful piece composed by Bernard Herrmann, who's worked on soundtracks for Alfred Hitchcock, like, for example, Birds and Psycho and so forth. And that was from Fahrenheit 451.
There was something eerie going on there.
Eerie, but quite, almost a bit spacey, actually. A little bit, felt quite space travel-y.
And a serenity to it, too.
For people who don't know what it's about, it's a book based on the book, the 1953 dystopian novel by Ray Bradbury. And the novel presents a future American society where reading is outlawed and firemen are actually there to burn books, not to stop fires, but actually to create them by burning books. It was written in the early years of the Cold War by Bradbury, and the novel is a critique of what Bradbury saw as issues in American society of that era. Now, this was the music taken from the 1966 film, directed by the Frenchman François Truffaut. It was his very first colour film and his only English language film, which is of interest to some. Based on the novel, of course, as I mentioned, of the same name, and it starred Oscar Werner and the beautiful Julie Christie, who was nominated for a BAFTA and an Oscar. Didn't win, unfortunately. But there you go. A tale set in the future of how books can be dangerous things, and maybe music can too. What did you think of that piece?
I thought it was really beautiful.
I liked it. I dug it. Sort of. No, it's cool. If you ever get the chance to have a look at the film online and look at some of the shots, it's very beautifully done. And Julie Christie is still, you know, amazing looking. Alrighty, up next, please tell us about, it's the Verdi, I believe.
I know people recognise your voice, but they may not recognise mine.
Because you're on Sundays at 6 o'clock.
I am.
You're on early, and I'm probably getting a bit later, the later sort of crowd.
The nocturnal peeps.
The nocturnal ones, I hope so. I hope you're up and about.
Indeed, the Verdi. Well, this is from Verdi's setting. Giuseppe Verdi, opera composer from about mid-1800s, his setting of the Requiem Mass, the Missa pro defunctis in Latin, for played when people died at the funeral, and there are sections of it which describe process of judgment and resting in peace. And the one we're going to hear, speaking of dystopical and apocalyptic, is pretty much the definition of that. The Dies Irae, the day of judgment, the day of wrath, is judgment before your creator, and there's big dramatic drums, and Verdi's is the most dramatic setting of that. It's good bass drum crashes. It's terrifying.
Have you ever seen it live, this particular?
I have, actually. I would like to see, well, I would like to have seen this recording live, because
when was this one done?
This is with the Kirov Orchestra, with Russian conductor Valery Gergiev, big, hairy, angry Russian man.
Goodness.
Who gets an incredible sound out of the orchestra.
Well, they're probably scared to death.
They are, probably.
Which suits the piece of music.
People will recognise this.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Joe Cornish, the writer and director of Attack the Block. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Here we are, Sonia and Tim, and that was a lovely piece of music.
Wasn't it pretty? I always remember in Terminator 1 where the chap comes back to the future and him and, what's the name of the actress?
Oh, yes, Mrs. X Cameron, James Cameron's ex.
Yes, she seduces him. He says, just imagine that. Gents, he comes back, from the future, this stunning, ripped soldier, and says that he's waited for you his entire life.
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Well, that's the character's name, anyway.
And he wants to be taken by it. It's a very sexy piece of cinema.
And you were... There's something from...
Yes, indeed.
I believe... The Verdi you've got there.
The Verdi that we heard, that big, earlier. Terrifying, dramatic piece. And this is the text that was in Latin. This day of wrath shall consume the world in ashes. What trembling there shall be when the judge shall come to weigh everything strictly. Pretty dramatic. Dramatic stuff going on. That was from the setting of the Requiem Mass by Verdi. We heard the Cure of Orchestra and chorus with Valeri Gergiev conducting.
I just have got Hairy Man now forever embedded in my brain.
Hairy Thanks Russian man conducting.
They do it so well, the Russians. They just give me shivers. I mean, their music is...
It's probably when they went through such a tough time.
Still.
And it's cold.
Yes, it's very cold. We did play a bit of Fahrenheit 451. We've done The Terminator. We've done some European classics of classical music. But now something a little bit more recent. And this is from the awesome film that I've seen. And Tim, fortunately, you haven't seen yet.
But I really want to now.
Now you're going to. I'm going to make you. It's Children of Men, the 2006 science fiction film, loosely adapted from P.D. James' 1992 novel, in fact, called The Children of Men. And this is directed by Alfonso Cuarón. Sorry, my Spanish is lousy. I hope that's okay for those who speak lengua español. Now, in 2027, 2 decades of human infertility have left society on the brink of collapse. And so basically, we're looking at people who are sort of terrorists, I guess, living in the jungles, in the fringes of society, who are trying to protect a special gift. I'm not going to tell you what that is, because you've got to see the movie to believe it.
You told me.
Awesome. Yeah, but that was off air.
But you said you didn't want to ruin it for me, and then you told me. I thought you didn't ruin
that. No, I haven't really ruined it. Not
so don't really.
Really
ruin it for the listeners.
Okay,
I'm sure they won't.
I don't really, really won't do that again. Sorry. Look, it stars the wonderful
the
Clive
The special
Owen.
Gift is boxer shorts to not
Clive
kill your
Owens,
sperm count.
Clive Owens' boxer shorts have to be protected in the film by Julianne Moore. And
I
she
protect
tries
his
very
boxer
hard.
Shorts. I just take them off.
That's one way of saving the world. It also has awesome Michael Caine, Pam Ferris, and probably one of my favourite British actors. I just can't say his name very well. Chiwetel Ejiofor. Now, he was wonderful. He was in Firefly on Serenity, actually, many moons ago. 2006, good year for some dystopical cinema, done with single-shot action sequences. Nice. Of course, John Taverner composed it, and you're a fan.
He's a brilliant composer.
And he's still around.
He is.
He's around.
Modern, but not annoying, which is rather... rather rare for a composer these days.
What do you mean? Oh, not all choppy and
not all
crazy.
Atonal and serialistic and...
Arty. Yes, which maybe that's what upsets people. I don't know. Some modern classical is considered a bit
like
difficult.
Possums having sex on the roof.
I had that problem the other night, actually.
Atonal classical or the possums?
The possums. It's very Australian here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi there, this is Anna Silk, and I play Bo on Lost Girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Paul Cornell on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi guys, this is Eddie McClintock. I play Agent Pete Latimer on Sci-Fi's Warehouse 13, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
Beautiful indeed. Music from Children of Men, John Taverner's Fragments of a Prayer, and that was sung by the mezzo-soprano Sarah Connolly. The full duration is actually over 15 minutes. I played about 8 minutes there. Almost, well, actually, it's about 7.5. So I had to cut that down because we don't have enough time, of course.
And it's very dramatically intense, isn't it?
It's very intense. It takes you off on a journey, indeed. I'll put the whole thing, if I can find it, on our Facebook page for you to enjoy in its entirety. So you can head off to Facebook a bit later. Obviously, go www.facebook.com/sci-fi-and-scream and like us there if you wish. You can also go to Joy's website to that address of www.joy.org.au
and
head
do
to a
check
podcast.
Out. Sorry to interrupt. Do check well, out yes. The entire soundtrack for The Children of Men, Kindertotenlieder, Songs on the Death of Children, very appropriate.
What else have we got?
More
there?
John Taverner, The Lamb. What else is there? There's Penderecki, the Polish composer, Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima.
That's beautiful. We've got... Ooh, Handel as well. Get a handle.
A bit of Handel.
Feast and War, Alexander's Feast. War, he sung, is toil and trouble.
He was bloodthirsty, that bugger, wasn't he?
Ooh, he was. Lots of fun then. Okay, so we're looking at dystopical themes in some films and movies, but also that whole thread of not all doom and gloom, but repression. In some cases, political circumstances that may inspire people to create works of art, such as books and films that look at these topics dystopical topics. But also, as you were saying before, Tim Perry from Queen of the Night.
Howdy. His Majesty has entered the room.
As you were saying before, it's not just about movies and books.
Now, it's not just about the world on a macro theme, on as a physical, as a planet, the world coming to an end. It's also about personal world, someone's life having a giant shift, and the world could literally be coming down around them. And I know next we'll be hearing a bit of Beethoven. The Beethovenite shows, literally everybody will know it.
But they may not know what it's about.
They may not know what it's about, but they will have heard it either on ringtones, on The Simpsons, on ads. It's the opening of his Fifth Symphony in D minor.
Beautiful.
No, not in D minor, I've got the wrong CD, but it's his Fifth Symphony, the opening. And he wrote it when he
C minor.
C minor. I knew it was a minor key. Minor key equals sad. He wrote it when he was coming to grips with his own deafness. And I guess it's like coming to grips with your own sexuality. It's a hard thing to get your head around. And the opening, da-da-da-da, most
all know
famous
that.
Opening in the history of classical music. It is fate knocking at the door. And Wagner, who's no stranger to dramatic music himself, has said that the music is imbued with force enough, and I quote, to arrest the waves and lay bare the very ground of the ocean. It's remarkable.
Let's play that Beethoven. Stay tuned on Sci-Fi and Squeam, because here is that remarkable piece of music that, seriously, we know. But do we really know it?
I'm Darren from the DK comic published by Dark Oz, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Isabel Carmody with Sonia, Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Isabel Carmody was a lovely person to have in the studio a few weeks ago, and I played that interview last week. I'll podcast the whole interview with Isabel later on this week, I believe. It was very long, but it was a heck of a lot of fun and fascinating woman. She spends most of her time now in Prague and, of course, visits all those fantastic places in Prague that just give me shivers, including the old new synagogue or the new old synagogue with a golem. Very famous golem story sort of appeared from. And that piece of music, as we spoke about earlier, was Beethoven's number 5.
It was the Beethoven 5. It was the opening. The very famous da-da-da-da.
Yeah, we all know. Yeah, I've heard those ringtones and gone, ooh, hello, Beethoven.
Played much better there by the Berlin Philharmonic and Herbert von Karajan.
The master himself.
Oh, yeah, the master of the Berlin Phil, the master of Beethoven. Beethoven wrote that when his deafness...
Oh, you were telling me about this,
His deafness was really starting to set in and he could not deny it any longer. And that was fate knocking at the door. And you really cannot ignore fate.
No. Well, to your peril, certainly.
Exactly to your peril.
And Tchaikovsky's next.
Exactly.
Why have you chosen this particular track?
Along the exact same lines, fate, there's a fate theme in the brass, the deep brass. Tchaikovsky's marriage to a female.
Particularly lady.
A lady. It was a difficult marriage because she was a nymphomaniac and he was gay. And in the 1800s, the middle of the 1800s, it's not the done thing to come out as a homosexual. No. So he had to stay married to a nymphomaniac. And his marriage broke up, and he wrote a letter to his patroness, Bezhda von Meck. She wrote back to him, and he said about the symphony, "This is fate, the force of destiny, which ever prevents our pursuit of happiness from reaching its goal, which jealously stands watch lest our peace and well-being be full and cloudless, which hangs like the sword of Damocles over our heads and constantly, ceaselessly poisons our souls. It is invincible, inescapable. One can only resign oneself and lament fruitlessly."
Wow. People just do not write in email form like that, do they, for one thing today? But beautiful. Hard lives indeed.
I don't think there's anything more to say than to
play it.
Play it.
Let's play it. Here he is, another master. Tchaikovsky, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam with Tim and Sonia, only on Joy 94.9.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I can assure you I mean you no harm.
Who are you?
Who? Who is but the form following the function of what, and what I am is a man in a mask.
Well, I can see that.
Of course you can. I'm not questioning your powers of observation. I'm merely remarking upon the paradox of asking a masked man who he is.
Oh, right.
But on this most auspicious of nights, permit me then, in lieu of the more commonplace sobriquet, to suggest the character of this dramatis persona. Voila! In view, a humble vaudevillian veteran, cast vicariously as both victim and villain by the vicissitudes of fate. This visage, no mere veneer of vanity, is a vestige of the vox populi, now vacant, vanished.
However, this valorous visitation of a bygone vexation stands vivified and has vowed to vanquish these venal and virulent vermin, vanguarding vice and vouchsafing the violently vicious and voracious violation of volition. The only verdict is vengeance, a vendetta held as a votive, not in vain, for the value and veracity of such shall one day vindicate the vigilant and the virtuous. Verily, this vicious swaz of verbiage veers most verbose, so let me simply add that it's my very good honor to meet you, and you may call me V.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
We love beautiful voices like Carrie Fisher, our dearest Princess Leia from a galaxy far, far away. I digress. That was V from Vendetta. It's a little segment from the movie way back, 2005.
He does like his V words, doesn't he?
He does. It's a bit
loves
of alliteration,
the V words.
A bit of alliteration. And, of course, that was Hugo Weaving, the marvellous Aussie actor who played the man in the mask himself very well. And I guess that's just in, I guess, in a way, I sort of want to dedicate this episode to some of the people who are suffering, particularly, I guess, United States with Occupy, and how they have taken on the mask themselves, Anonymous, etc., to try and get across the point that some things just aren't equal.
I admire the solidarity. Mm. I really do.
Cool. So to the Occupy people, wherever you are in the world, if you're listening, if you've got a transistor somewhere or an app, an iPhone or some gadget, I hope you can hear us here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. We support you on Joy 94.9. Now, Tim, that was a marvellous piece as well. And time is going so fast.
It is. It's flown by, hasn't it?
And then we're going to go out with, I believe it's one of your choices here.
Yes, indeed. Pretty much.
Oh, Fortuna.
People will know this. They will. Even if they don't know, they'll know it. They do know it.
You were right about the Beethovens, so you must be right about this.
Yes, indeed. This is from a big choral work, big work choir by Karl Orff. I think he's German composer. And this first movement, big epic, and it reads as such: O fortune variable as the moon, always dost thou wax and wane, detestable life, first dost thou mistreat us, and then whimsically thou heedest our desires, as the sun melts the ice, so dost thou dissolve both poverty and power, monstrous and empty fate, thou turning wheel, art mean, voiding good health at thy will. Veiled in obscurity, thou dost attack me also, to thy cruel pleasure I bare my back.
To being whipped or to being punished, it feels like.
I guess so, just sticking it to the man.
Oh, cool. Well, that seems to be the theme tonight.
Indeed.
Here on Sci-Fi and Squim. Squim. Squirm, I was thinking. Squeam. Yes, I don't even know the name of my own show. Gosh, what's wrong with me tonight? Well, tonight it has been a little bit of a dystopical trip, but it's not all doom and gloom. It's positive as well, because it means standing your ground. It means all these forces are happening. Sometimes they're governmental, sometimes they're just out of our control. But I think personally, in our heart of hearts, we can take some control if we
can. And the end of one world can be the beginning of another. It can be serendipitous.
Very good. Good point. Now, Tim, have you got any links you would like to tell us about so people can find out more about Queen of the Night?
Sure. Jump on Facebook. You can look up The Queen and His Court. That's the group, The Queen and His Court. Also made a Facebook page when I figured out how to do that. That's simply Queen of the Night.
Ah.
And soon I shall be making a Queen of the Night podcast.
Cool. We need that.
Yes, indeed. Mm. And the first podcast shall feature highlights from Don Giovanni, which is playing in Melbourne currently with Opera Australia.
Nice.
And I interviewed Teddy Taha Rhodes.
Ooh,
and managed
jealous.
Not to drool for the entire
jealous.
10 minutes.
He's a wonderful Kiwi.
Beautiful man, beautiful voice, tremendously talented opera singer.
And a very fine looking chap.
Yes, indeed.
I heard about that. Cool. Thank you for listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam. And then we'll go out with O for Tuna.
O for Tuna. Not about tuna.
No, my pronunciation's crap.
No, I like to laugh at that. Laugh at my pronunciation of it.
All right, so you'll be on Sunday, this Sunday, 6
Sunday,
p.m.?
6 till 7, every week.
And next week on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we have got Horror Hotties, or Hotties in Horror. And who will be joining me? None other than Ginny, and perhaps Natalie as well, from Her Society. So that gang will be in here, and we're going to discuss all the women that make us very happy to
what
enjoy horror
and sci-fi.
What
about the boys? Can we represent the boys, please?
We've done that. We did X and Y in sci-fi.
I stand corrected.
But we are going to do some horror hunks, probably in January. I'll keep you posted over that, Tim. Okay? Is it Bella or Buffy that you pitch for? If you were a girl, Bella or Buffy?
Belle, who's Bella?
All right.
Well, oh, that there. One from Twilight. Okay.
That one. Kristen Stewart. So yeah, join us next week, December the 20th, and we'll have some great passes to give away to an awesome movie called Mars coming very soon to Acme. Here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, it's been a privilege having you in the studio.
It has been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening.
Hi, this is Oscar Hillstrom, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Vampires, zombies, ghouls and creatures from outer space. No, it's not Federal Parliament. It's Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.